Okay. Today's daf is Kaf Bet. We missed the beginning of Eilu Metziyahut. Okay, but we'll be in it a lot now. The first mission, Eilu Metziyahut, on daf Kaf Aleph, listed all different Metziyahut that basically you're allowed to. It starts Eilu Metziyahut Shelo ve'Eilu Chayav Lachriz. There's two options by a Metziyah. Either you can keep it, because we'll see why, all the different reasons, but the assumption is that the person already had Ye'ush on it. Okay, he gave up on the item. Okay, and why? And then it depends why. Maybe because there's no siman, or he thinks he'll never get it back. Ve'elu chayav lachriz. And then there's other ones, which is the next mishnah, which we'll get to, which is ones that you have to return. And when it means you have to return it, right? They say you have to lachriz. What is lachriz? You have to announce. We'll see exactly when you announce it and how you do it, and what you have to announce. You have to announce that you found some item, and wait till somebody. You have to basically take care of the item until someone identifies it. That's the chiyuv of hashavat aveda. Right now, we're in the list of the things that are not chayav in hashavat aveda. You're allowed to keep. In the context of this, at the very, very bottom of, really starting at the top of Kaf Aleph Amud Bet, there's a very famous machloket of Rava and Abaye. Okay, why is this famous machloket? Because we're going to see, we've learned this before, Ya'al Kagam, if you remember, it's Rashi Tevot for the sixth machlokot between Rava and Abaye, that we paskel like Abaye. Okay, we always paskel like Rava, except for six machlokot, and this is one of them. So this is called Yehu Shalom Midat. What does that mean? You find a lost item. The assumption is you could take it if the Baalim were Midyahish. They said, we're never going to get this back, so we give up. What's the word? It's not exactly give up. We
despair.
That's a better word. We despair. But what if you don't know yet that the owner despaired? But it's clear that when he... why don't you know if the owner despaired? Because you don't know yet if he figured out, right, how often is it that we lose something and we only realize the next day that we lost it, right? And then you have to backtrack. When you try to figure out where it was, you try to remember when was the last time I had it. Right? How often does that happen? It's a day later, 2 days later, 3 days later, right? So, see all the smiles. We're very familiar with this. So now what happens? The assumption is that once you figure out this item is lost, you're going to realize that there's no way you're getting it back because, let's say, it has no siman and, whatever it is. So can we assume that since that's the case, now the guy finds your item, maybe they found it 10 minutes after you dropped it in the middle of the street, okay? But you don't yet know that you lost it. So you haven't had Yehush yet. Now, once you do have Yehush, let's say you lose a 100 shekel bill in the middle of Ben Yehuda. Okay, pretty busy street, tons of people walking by. Clearly, when you realize you lost 100 shekel, it's gone, right? You're not going to find that 100 shekel again. So you have Yehush. But you might not have realized the first minute that you dropped the money. So if the person finds it a minute later, they didn't see that you dropped it. Can they assume that since in the end, later down the road, you will despair, does that mean that you can take it right now? So Abaye said, that's called Yehush Shalom Midat. There's Yehush, but without the knowledge of the guy that he'll eventually, okay? And as Rashi says, Davar Shestamo Yehush Lichishayeda Shanafal Mimenu, okay? But when he found it, this is a big problem in general because we really don't know at what point. Okay, you'll see with the 100 shekel bill, it's not a great example because they're gonna explain that in a different way. But I mean, actually, they did it already on Kaf Aleph Amud Bet. What did they say? That's not a good example because people are constantly people are constantly looking through their money, so they will know immediately if they lost their 100 shekel. They will be mitayesh because they'll realize someone must have picked it up. And therefore, you see 100 shekel, you actually can pick it up. But if it's something else, then you can't because then you don't necessarily know that the guy had yeyush. So that's a buy. Rava says this is yeyush. Okay, so now the Gemara is in a long list of basically Tanaitic sources to try to prove or disprove each side. Okay, so we're starting at the bottom of Kaf Aleph Amud Bet. Tashma. Okay, this one is coming to, this one's coming to prove Rava. Okay, we're going to a little bit ping-pong back and forth. Haganav shenatal mizeh v'natan lezeh, v'chein gazlan shenatal mizeh v'natan lezeh. Someone steals your Okay, there's ganav, there's gazlan. Remember, ganav does it in secret, gazlan does it in front of you, bekoch. So, they each took an item, stole it from someone, and gave it to somebody else. V'chein yardein, or the water, right? The yardein came, flushed it away, natal mizeh v'natan lezeh, and, you know, the guy was standing further down the yardein, and the item comes to him. Okay, so the yardein obviously didn't give it to him, but they're using it as a vision. You know, okay, so the yardein moves it from one to the other. Masha natal natalu masha natan natan. What it took, and what it gave. In other words, the nitina is good. So now they say, well, bishlamai works well if you say gazlan the yardein. The gazlan and the yardein. What happens when somebody? When somebody robs you, you know, in front of your face, so you know it's gone. So you had yeush because the robber took it from you and you had yeush. If you remember, we had a whole sugya about differences between ganav and gazlan and then differences in terms of exactly this issue. Not everybody always agreed with this about whether we assume there was yeush or not. Dafka, sometimes we said the gazlan, there's less option of yeush because you know who stole it, so you might get it back. And then we also saw the flip, which said, no. Gazlan took a pekach, so you think he'll never get it back because, you know, he beat you there. You're not going to get it back from him later. So anyway, this one is siding with the fact that once you see the gazlan took it, the assumption is, this is a good example of where it's so clear to the Gemara here, but remember there was homachloket about it further on, you know, earlier on in Bava Kama.
That's the point here, isn't it? That there's that. I mean, the question is the knowledge of it.
Yeah, but just because you have knowledge of it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to have yeush. Yeah. What we saw in the sugya in Bava Kama was one opinion said, dafka, because you know who took
it.
You're not going to be with yeush. But this sugya assumes you will do. You will have yeush. So, dekachazile luhumu yeush. Ela ganav mi kachazile demi yeush. But the ganav you never saw. And therefore, right, this one sides on the side that the ganav, you could actually ask the question either. You can ask the question according to both shitot. Because you could say one of them is going to create a problem because, right, he didn't see the ganav come, and therefore, how could he have been mityayesh? How does he know, right? It could happen. The ganav comes into your house, steals something, and you don't even know it's stolen. Right? I know people who've gotten robbed, and then they don't even realize. They realize a few days later, oh, you know, I can't find this, and oh, maybe it was stolen, right? So they don't have yesh necessarily right away. So how do you explain that according to, right, this seems to match Rava, that you don't necessarily know this yeush, but when he obviously figures out down the road that it was stolen, he'll have yeush. And it works here. So that you see, the yeush shalomidat is yeush. So now we're going to explain how Abaye could read this sugya. Tirgama Rav Papa belista mezuyan, exactly like we did in the sugya in Bava Kama. We said, oh, ganav doesn't really mean ganav. Ganav means lista mezuyan. It means armed robbers, as opposed to regular robbers who come and attack you on the street. These guys have guns. What's the issue with the guns? Why do they call them a ganav? Because they're hiding behind their weapons. It's sort of like a ganav. Iha chi hainu gazlan. But then that's the same as gazlan. The Gemara is going to ask that, right? Then just call it a gazlan. So what do they say? Tre gavne gazlan, right? It's trying to teach you that there's two different types of gazlanim. One's with weapons, one without weapons. Okay, so we tried to bring a proof for Rava. We now explained it also according to Abaye. Now we're going to bring a proof for Abaye. Tashma. Shatach nahar korav etzav avanav. This is similar a little bit to the Yardin one. But here the Nahar comes, it washes away, right? It comes into your property. It washes away your beams and your trees and your avanim and all that. And it washes them right into somebody else's field. It says these belong to the new guy because there was Yeush. Now, what does the Gemara assume here? Ta'ama diniti ashu ba'alim. From the words, what do you see here? Because there was yeush, which sounds like Abaye. There has to actually be yeush for it to work. But if the ba'alim were not mityayesh, then it wouldn't work. Because even though, right, Rava would say, but eventually when he finds out, he'll have yeush, right? This is a mistama nityayesh. Right, so hastama, it sounds like lo. You wouldn't be able to. If it was stam, it got taken, it got washed away. But the Baalim were not mityayesh. It sounds like from the words of this bright to the wording that says, Mipnei shenityashu Baalim, right? That only if Yesh were to happen would this work. Whereas Stama, it wouldn't work, which would sound against Rava and to support Abaye. So now they say no. When it says Mipnei shenityashu Baalim, what does it mean here? Hacha b'mayaskinan kigon sheyachol lahatzil. It means It's because it's saying this was a case where it was a Yachola Hatzil. What do you think that means? It means he thinks he could eventually get it back because it has a siman. Okay, that's what it meant by the case was a case where Yachola Hatzil, meaning it had a siman in it. And that's why only Mipnation it Yahshua Balin. We have two options according to Rava. Rava says, Yesh Shalom Midad is Yesh. What does that mean? That means if when the guy finds out it was lost, he'll say, oh, I don't want that item. Like, you know, he'll never get that item back. Then we're going to assume that Yesh happened from the very beginning, even before he knew about it. But this case, we're going to say, is a case where, even according to Rava, there could be a case where there's no Yeyush, which is, if when you eventually find out it's lost, if it has a siman, then you're going to assume you can still get it back and you won't have Yeyush. In that kind of a case, obviously, we don't say there's retroactive Yeyush. Okay? So, that's why they're saying this Braita, which said, Mipnation Yahshua Balim, must be a case, according to Rava. Rava would have to read this, where the guy was never going to be Mityesh down the road anyway, because it had a siman. That's what it means, Kasheh Cholatzia. So now they say, wait, so if you're going to say that this bright is referring to a case, and as again, we can read it like a baye, mipnesha nityashu, meaning if they hadn't been mityash, it wouldn't be good. Right? You wouldn't be able to, the guy who's the nahar, the river, brought it into someone else's property, he can't keep it, only, right? Abaye will say only if there was yash. Rava will say, no. Rav is saying that case is a case where there was a siman on it, and therefore he can only accept it if the balim were mityayesh. But if they weren't mityayesh, then you can't assume mistama the guy would be mityayesh because it had a siman. That reading of the Braita is going to be difficult, though, because of the second part of the Braita. Ihachi eima sefer, right? We didn't read the whole Braita, but now we're going to get the whole Braita. Im hayu habalim miradfim achareihem chayav lachzir. The continuation said that if you see, right, the Nahar brings this stuff into your property, and you see this guy running, looking for his stuff. So if you see the Balim Meradfim, then Chayav Lachzir. Now, if you say, it's like we just said, according to Rava, that Ibi Yecholim Lahatzil, if the case was there was a Siman, so my Iriya Meradfim, Afilu E Meradfim Nami. It wouldn't only be if the guy was running after it, right? Even if you didn't see the guy, as long as there's a Siman, you'd have to return it. So it doesn't seem to support our reading to answer Rava. It doesn't make sense. So, what do they answer? No. Ha chabemai askinan, the safest time about a different case. B'sheyecholin lahatzil al yedei hadchak. It's a case where you could get it, but it's not going to be so simple to get it back. Okay? Like it's a davar, I'm trying to... Right, what would you say? Yedei hadchak. Right, that's a case where if you didn't run quickly, it would be gone. So you're the guy's running after it because otherwise he knows he'll never ever find it. Okay, so there's one thing to have a siman, but there's another thing. The safest talking about a case where if you don't catch it right now, you're going to lose it entirely. So therefore, miradfim lo yayush and miradfim yayushem yayush. If the guy's running after it, so then we assume he's not mityayesh. But if he's not running after it, and, you know, the river's going so fast, it's going to totally destroy it, then yishem yayesh, right? I'm trying to think if there's another better explanation of this ayideh hadchak, right? That it would be... I guess it would be that the river was carrying it so quickly that and if you couldn't get to it, you'd never return it.
Here, they can go on and on, and you'll never get a definite answer. If you can take out any scenario,
That's exactly what the Gemara does. So it tries to. Well, you'll see. Eventually, the sugya is actually right. Sometimes we have these sugya which go either which way. Eventually, well, you already know because I told you it's one of the six cases where we pascha like Abaye. It's because we're going to bring a source against Rava, and we're not going to be able to answer it. Okay, but that's the sneak preview to what's going to be. Tashma. Now we're going to bring some cases that don't have to do with lost items, have to do with other things, but we're going to compare. Ketzad amru hatorem shelo midat trumato truma. Okay, so now we've learned this before. Let's say you, this is by the way, going to be an attempt to prove Rava. If I go into your field and I take your payrot and I take truma from them, okay, does truma work? Okay, so in what case would it work? Okay, so he goes into his friend's field, He takes some fruits, v'taram shelo b'reshut. Okay? And he takes truma, right? I take truma for your stuff without your permission. Im choshesh mishum gezel, ein trumato truma. V'im lav, trumato truma. This we don't understand yet, but I'll explain what's saying. If we're concerned for gezel, then it's not truma. And if we're not concerned for gezel, then it is truma. Okay, we don't know what this means yet. Neither does the Gemara. So now, or the Braita says, Uminayin hu yodea im choshesh mishum gezel v'im lav. So the Braita continues to explain. How do we know? Okay, that's very good. Im choshesh mishum gezel. How are you going to know? Im lav. Hare sheba balabayit umitza'o. If the balabayit comes home, finds out what, right? I come back and, what did we say? I went into your field and took truma. So you come home. And I say, and you say, oh, you took truma, and what's your response? V'amar lo, kalech etzel yafot. You should have taken from my nicer stuff. Okay, now, you should have taken from my nicer stuff could have been said in, like you meant it, or could have been said sarcastically. So now we have to figure out, how do we know whether you said it like you meant it, or whether you said it sarcastically? Okay, so, im nimtzeu yafot mehen trumato truma. If you have nicer stuff, if what I took was not the nicest and you had nicer stuff, then when you said you should have taken from my nicer stuff, you must have meant it, which means the truma is a good truma because you obviously agree with what I did. You just thought I should have done it a little bit nicer. But if v'im lav, ein trumato truma. Okay, but if I don't have any nicer stuff and you basically took my best stuff and I say, oh yeah, you should have taken my nicer stuff, I'm basically saying, you know, why did you take my very best stuff and give it to Truma? That wasn't what I was planning to give for Truma. I wanted to keep that for myself. So, liktu haba'alim v'hosifu alehen. Let's say the ba'alim come home, see you took Truma, and they decide to add a little bit more to your pile to give to the Kohen. Ben kachu, whether I have nicer stuff or not nicer stuff, Truma to Truma. Okay? In other words, then it works because obviously I'm approving your Truma if I'm adding to it. And it doesn't matter whether I had nicer stuff or whether I didn't have nicer stuff. Okay, now what does this have to do with our case? V'chinim tse'u yafot mehen trumato truma amai. When we find out that you really had nicer stuff, right, which means that you meant your statement seriously, why should this work? V'idna de taram halo havayada. When he gave the truma, right, he didn't know, when the guy gave the truma, right, the owner didn't know about it. So how could he be giving possession of the guy's property without his knowledge? Just because down the road he's going to approve it doesn't mean that at the moment when I took the truma, I was taking someone else's property. He didn't have yeush on it. So how could my truma be a good truma, right? If I gave it to the Kohen, I gave it, right, knowing that down the road you'll agree with me. And even though down the road you agree with me, what would a bias say? That shouldn't work. That's like Yehush Shalomidah. Okay? So, Tirgama Rava Aliba Dabaye, Rava explains this according to Abaye, and he says, now this is a question on Abaye. So, Rava says, interestingly enough, Rava's answering it according to Abaye, Deshavye Shaliach. It's a case where he appointed him as his Shaliach to take the Truma. Okay, well, now we have to do a whole rereading, because that wasn't how we read it in the slightest. So now we have to reread it. Hachinami mistabra, and it says it even more so. It really sounds this way. Why? De'isal kadazach to lo shavi shaliach. If he didn't make him a shaliach, mi havi truma to truma. How could he possibly be truma? Because veha, what does it say? Atem, right? This is the pasuk in Bamidbar about truma. It says, kein tarimu gam atem, the truma. Okay? Atem gam atem. Amarachmana, why did it say atem gam atem? Kein tarimu gam atem, right? Why does it say atem, but then it also says gam atem? Amarachmana, lirabot shluchachem. Okay, to include also your shaliach. Ma atem, now they're going to compare. Ma atem lidatchem. When you take truma, you do it with your own knowledge, obviously. Af shluchachem lidatchem. Likewise, if you appoint a shaliach, he has to do it with your, and as you can't have someone take your truma without your knowledge, basically. So therefore, this braita can't be true the way we understood it. It must be he made him a shaliach. So if that's the case, then we have to reread it. El hacha b'mayaskinan, what's the braita? Kigon deshav yesh shaliach, va'amar le, he makes a shaliach, and what does he say to him? Zil trum. He says, go take truma from my property, from my produce. Velo amrale, but he doesn't say to him, tromehane. He doesn't say, take from these fruits. He just says, take truma. Vistame de balabaye ki tarum mi benonit hu tarum. Right? Well, what do we assume? We assume that when he says, go take my stuff, what kind of stuff was he referring to? The average stuff, not the bad stuff and not the good stuff. And what did this shaliach do? Va'azal ihu v'tram miyafot. He takes from his nicer stuff. So then, the balabai comes home umitza'o, and he sees he took from his best stuff. Va'amarle kalech etzal yafot. So now he says to him, you should have taken from my even better stuff. Okay, so now it makes a lot more sense also, the story in this case. His comment makes more sense, right? So now, again, im nimtzu yafot mehem, if he had even better stuff, then trumato truma, then it works. Because what he's saying is basically, right, it's great you took from my nice stuff. I would have preferred you even took from my nicer stuff. But obviously, what you took from my nice stuff is good enough. Vim lav, but if he doesn't have anything nicer, and he said, you know, you should have taken from my nicest stuff, which he did, then obviously he was saying, I wasn't very happy that you took from my stuff. So therefore, ein trumato truma. So now we've explained this story, where it works also according to Abaye, because if we read it this way, it has absolutely nothing to do with Yeush. You follow? We've now removed it from the whole Yeush context. Now that we already were talking about this, we're going to get to a story related to it. So now we're off topic. Amemer umar zutra v'rav Ashi, iklu labustina de Mary Bar Isik. Okay, they come to the pardes of Mary Bar Isik. Okay, Amemer, Marzutra, and Ashi, the three of them. Aite arise tmare v'rimone, v'shade kamayu. So, Mamer bar Isak's aris. Remember what an aris is? It's a guy, a sharecropper. He works in the field, and he gets a percentage of the produce. And before they divvied up the produce, he already brings some tamarim and rimonim to be mechabed these rabbis who came. Okay? Goes and brings them fruits. Now, the assumption is, okay, Tosso talks about this, the assumption is that this happened before they divided it up. And what's the question here? They brought the fruits, but the fruits, let's say the sharecropper gets a third. So these fruits are two-thirds the owners, a third the sharecroppers. Now, according to Tosfot, the assumption of what happened here is that they certainly weren't giving him the sharecropper's share. The owner's share. What they were doing is they were giving him two-thirds, and they figured later when we collect other stuff, we'll give the owner his two-thirds of this back, right, when we do the divvying up. So what happens here? Amemar v'Rav Ashi achlu. Okay, remember, there were three rabbis. So Amemar v'Rav Ashi eat the fruits. Marzutra lo achil. He won't eat the fruits. Adahachi, right, what's he worried about? He's worried that it was stolen property, that the guy was taking the produce of the owner without planning to return it to the owner. Adahachi atar mare bar isik. So in the meantime, mare bar isik comes. Ashkachinu, he sees what's going on. V'amrle la'arise, amai lo aitit luhula rabbana mehanach shvirta. Why didn't you give the rabbis from the nicest produce, right? Why'd you give them from this stuff? We have even better stuff. So Amrule Amemar v'Rav Ashi the Marzutra. So now Amemar and Rav Ashi say to Marzutra, Hashta Amai lo achil mar. So at this point, it seems clear that the owner is willing to, right, is willing to allow this guy. Now again, I'm going to read a Tosfot's way, and then I'm going to show you an interesting halacha he comes to in the end about this. That the sharecropper, that the owner is willing, again, according to Tosfot's reading, it's not that the sharecropper is saying, I'm giving my share. He's saying, you should have given him even nicer stuff, and, you know, I don't mind if later on we work things out. Whatever you gave now, you know, you'll give me back my two-thirds later. I trust you. Doesn't it say in the Braita, like we just said, im nimtzu yafot mehem trumato truma, right? In other words, obviously, this guy did mean it sarcastically because he has even nicer stuff. Amar lehu, which means, right, in the end, he agreed. Amar lehu, so Marzutra says, no. Hachi amar rava. Lo amru kalech etzal yafod ela linyan truma bilvad. Mishum de mitzvahu v'nichale. When it comes to truma, we assume you fulfilled my mitzvah, or I fulfilled your mitzvah by taking your truma for you, right? It was obviously a beneficial thing for you. Aval hacha, why did he say that statement? Why didn't you bring them nicer stuff? Mishum sifuta hu da'amar hachi. It was embarrassing for him. Like, what else was he supposed to say? You know, he comes in, he sees the guy serve the guy's food. What's he going to say? Oh my God, I can't believe you just took, you know, you took my produce. Like, what are you doing? So it was embarrassing. You know, he had nothing else to say. That was the only thing he could have said, you know. So basically, we don't take it to mean anything. And therefore, we can't learn from here. You know, we can't assume that he's not chayav mishum gezel in this case. Okay? Mishum ksitu da'amar hachi. Okay, there's an interesting nafkamina that comes out from Tosfot's reading. And he says that, right, this, according to this, the fact that what he holds, since we hold Yeush Shalom Idad is not Yeush, okay? Therefore, he can't possibly read this story the way you might have thought the pshat was, which is that maybe the owner is saying, oh yeah, I'll give my 2/3 also to the rabbis. He doesn't think that that's an option, because what does he say? If Yeush, what was the, what you might have thought the assumption of the story was, is, you know, the question is, would the owner have been happy to be mechabed the rabbis himself with his portion, right? So comes Tosfot and he says it can't possibly be because Yeush Shalom Idad is not Yeush, which means that you can never, like if you have a good friend and you go to their house and they're not there and you go into their fridge and you take some food because you know that if they were there, they would let you eat their food. According to Tosfot, you can't do that because that's Yeush Shalom Idad is lokona. Like you can't even, according to him, go into your, right, and assume that I know this person's going to give it to me when they show up. And take it right now, knowing that they'll give it to you. Okay, that's what he says. It's a very interesting halacha. Like, are you allowed to, basically, knowing that someone will give it to you, but since they haven't yet given to you, maybe you're not allowed to eat it. So he claims that you can't do that. Other mefarshim explain differently and think that you actually can do that. Okay, but he says that's all part of the sugya, Yeush Shalom Idad. Yeush Shalom Idad is lokona, and therefore, you can't do such a thing. So that is an interesting halacha that comes out of here. Okay, Amar Rava. Tashma. Okay, now we're going to bring another source. This is going to be a proof for Abaye, and it comes from the context of Dvarim Shemukhshamim Lekabel Tuma. So let's go and review what we remember about this halacha. Fruits, vegetables, you know, produce doesn't accept Tuma until one of the seven mashkim, okay, water, chalav, shemen, there's a bunch of things. Yad Shechadam is the Rashi Tevot. That some liquid has to fall upon it. Okay, and the pasuk comes from mayim. Okay, ki yitain, the pasuk is ki yutan mayim al zera v'nafal minivlatam alav tamehu lachem. It's from Vayikra Yud Aleph Lamed Chet. Okay, once water gets upon, now this is an important ki yutan. Once water is put upon, okay, that's what yutan means, on the produce, and then a nevela falls on it, then it's tameh. But until then, it's not tameh. So let's say you put your stuff out, your fruits out to dry. You put them out on your roof to actually, they say, the Mefreshim say it's to avoid the worms getting into them. So you put them high up. Now, what happens? The dew falls upon it. Now, the halacha, when it comes to mukshar lekabel tuma, it has to be a liquid that you wanted to get on it. Okay, like if a liquid falls on it and it's not good for it or you didn't want it, then it's not mukshar lekabel tuma. It has to have your machshava that you wanted it to be on it. But does it mean also that you had to have actually put it on there yourself? What if the dew fell on it? Okay, tal is one of the Sheva Mashkim, right? Yad Shachat Dam, the tet in Shachat. Odeu hatal alehem v'samach. The tal is still on them. He didn't, right? He didn't know the tal was coming on it, but he sees the tal is on it, and he was happy with it. Hareze b'chiyutan. If he was happy and said, I'm glad the tal fell on these fruits, that's already considered mukshar lekabel tuma. Nigvu, but if they dried, af al pisha samach, he knew the tal fell upon it. In other words, now he sees, oh, the tal fell, but it dried. Then einam b'chiyutan. If it's dry at this point, then you can't say it's mukshar lekabel tuma. Tama mai. So what's the reason for this? My lav mishum. Sorry, tama my lav mishum de lo amrinan kevan digali milta dehashta nichale miikara nami nichale. I'm sorry. The hashcha nichale meikara nami nichale. Right? Is it because that now that we see that it was nichale, right? The first case, odeu atal alehem. What's the situation? He didn't know in the beginning, but now what he knows now is going to go retroactively, so that when it was put upon it, because remember the words here are kiyutan, when it's put upon. So the putting upon is an important act. So now what does it show? That meikara nami nichale. That when it was put upon it. Right? His thoughts now can reflect on his earlier thoughts. Right? So what do they say? Right, so this is 1 second. According to this, right, we would say, right, so this would go against this, right, why is this like a baye, yeush? Right. Sorry. We're dafka talking about the last case, right? If it dried, right? Vishum de lo amrinan, kevandi gali milta dahashta nichale, meikar nami lichale. We can't say that, since it dried, right? We can't say that now we, even though now he was happy that it fell on it, but since it's dry, right? We can't say that what he thinks now reflects on what he thought earlier. So now they say, no, Shani Hatam, you can't compare this to Yeush because Dichtiv Ki Yutan. Ki Yitain. Okay, Ki Yutan, right? The Nikud is based on the Masoret. But it's written, right? If you would write the words Ki Yutan, how would you write them? Yud Vav Taf Nun. But it's written in the Torah as Yud Taf Nun, Chaser. So what do they say? It's written as Ki Yitain. So Ad She Yitain. In other words, this is a unique halacha. This has nothing to do with Yeush Shalomitat. The fact that it doesn't work when it comes to when it dried already, right, is because he didn't put it on himself. Well, that doesn't make any sense because Yihachi Reisha Nami, but in the Reisha also he didn't put it on himself. So now they say, Hatam Kedrav Papa. Kedrav Papa Rami Ktiv. Rav Papa says the word itself of the Pasuk contradicts itself. It's Kri and Ktiv. Okay? Ktiv Ki Yitain. Ukrinan Ki Yutan. Right? Ki Yutan means it happened to it. Kiyute means you did it yourself. So what does he say? Haketza. Be'inan kiyutan dumia dechiyitain. Mayitain ledat af kiyutan nami ledat. So now they say no. So now we have three options. Either you put it on yourself and then obviously it works. If you didn't put it on yourself and you didn't know about it till it was already not on anymore, then that also doesn't work. But the in-between where you put it on, where you didn't put it on yourself, but you knew about it, while it was still on there, that would work. Okay, which then basically says that the sugya has absolutely nothing to do with the Yeush Shalomidat because it's a unique halacha by Mukhshar Lekabel Tumah. Okay, now we're going to finally get to our last proof, which is going to be a disproof of Rava. Tashma, Da'am Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Yishmael Ben Yehot Tzadak, Minayin La'avedah She'shtafa Nahar She'hi Muteret. How do you know that if the Nahar takes something, washes it away, that you can now take this Aveda? No one's expecting to get it back. Dichtiv v'chein ta'aseh l'chamoro v'chein ta'aseh l'simlato v'chein ta'aseh l'chol avedat achicha. Here come the important words. Asher tovar mimenu umitzata. That will be lost from someone and will be found. What are they darshan from here? Misha avuda heimenu umitzuya etzal kol adam. What type of avedah are you required to return? It's an avedah that can be tovar mimenu. Umitzata. It can be something that can get lost from you, but someone else is capable of finding. And the assumption is, right? Yatzta zo shavuda mimenu ve'ena mitzuya itzal kol adam. And what's that going to be? Like shtafa nahar, right? That if the nahar takes it away, the assumption is no one's ever going to see that again. Okay, now, obviously, it could possibly be, but most, right, because that's the case. If you find something that's shtafa nahar, you don't have to return it. It's because generally, this is not an aveda that people would generally find. V'isura dumia dehetera. Okay, the Braita continues. And now we're going to make a comparison between an aveda that's asur for you to take and an aveda that's mutar for you to take. Ma hetera, what's unique about something that's mutar for you to take? And that's, what did we just say? If shtafa nahar, we said, you could take it, right? You find something that the river washed up, you're allowed to take it. Now, did we distinguish between if it has a siman, doesn't have a siman? No. We said no matter what, if the Nahar takes it, right, we assume the guy totally has. Yeah, there's no way he ever thinks he's going to get it back, even if it has a siman. So therefore, ma hetera, bein de'ipa siman, u bein de'lepa siman shara, right, this is going to be mutar whether or not it has a siman. So therefore, af isura, likewise, an isur, right, something that you're not allowed to take, bein de'ipa siman, Ubein delepa siman asura, right? Whether or not it has a siman or it doesn't have a siman, it's going to be asur. Why is that? Because how can you have an aveda that doesn't have a siman that's going to be asur? According to Rava, what would you say? If it doesn't have a siman, it's going to eventually, when you find, right, when you find out that it was lost, you're going to have yeush, and yeush shalom idad is yeush. Abai will say, no. When can isura be, when can it be asur for you to take an aveda even if it doesn't have a siman? Ah, it's when the baalim were not mityaesh yet, right? That's a case where you lost something. The baalim didn't have yeush yet. They're going to have yeush because it doesn't have a siman, but they didn't have yeush yet. So therefore, this only works with Abaye and it doesn't work with Rava. So therefore, they say, tiyuvta de Rava tiyuvta. Okay, this is a problem with Rava's opinion. Vihilchata kavate de Abaye b'yaal kagam. Okay, and here we have it. The halacha is like Abaye in yaal kagam. Okay, let's see. How many of these did we learn already? Okay, let's go through. So the yud is our case. Okay, the yud of yaal kagam is yeyush shalomida. The ayin is edim zomim. We haven't gotten to this yet. Edim zomimim, there's a machloket. If you lie falsely, okay, we don't even know. You're testifying in court. Two witnesses come and say, Imanu ayitem, right, we were with you on that day, at that time, and you couldn't possibly have seen what you said you saw. We were with you in a different place. They become edim zomimim, and we assume that they were lying. Now, we don't really know always with edim. We've talked about this. Are they really lying or not? So there's two approaches to say that maybe it's a chidush, shechidshat harad, that even though we don't know, we're going to say that this method is what works to cancel out edim. Because if you have two witnesses who just contradict each other, that's called edut hachasha. We can't know who to believe. But if two people say they're not contradicting their testimony, they're just saying you couldn't possibly have been there, then we'll allow it. So it's a chidush. Now, if you say there's a chidush, shechidshat torah, and what happens? If you're a witness who lied in court, anything you testified about is also no good. So we don't allow you to be a future witness. So now the question becomes, let's say you testified in September, okay? And then in November, Edim Zomimim came and postled you. So what about all the things you testified about between September and November? So Abaye and Rav have a machloket. If you say it's a chidush of the Torah, then we say we're only going to postle you mikanu lahaba from that point on in November. Okay, but if we say that no, it's just showing that you were a liar, that we really believe you're a liar, everyone thinks you're a liar, then already from September you're going to be pasul. So Abaye in that case says it's lemafreya. It goes back to the beginning. Okay, we'll see this in I think it's Sanhedrin and definitely in Makom. Okay, lechi haome me'alav. This we saw many, many moons ago in Eruvin. This is a lechi, right, to be matir, a mavoi, right, that's open on one side and closed on the other side. You can matir the mavoi for carrying. It's like an alleyway where a bunch of different chatzerot open, a bunch of different courtyards open into there. You can either have a kore or a lechi. Okay, a kore goes horizontally. A lechi goes vertically. You make like a tzurat petach, and you can have you could put like a little beam up that goes. So what if it was a lechi that was already there? Does that work or not? Okay, and in this case, I always forget who says what. Lechi haome me'elav. Abaye says it works. It works as a lechi. Okay? Rava says it's not a good lechi. Kuf, this we learn. Kiddushim shalonim serula bi'ai. You remember if a guy marries one of two sisters, he betrothed one of two sisters, and we don't know which one he betrothed. So since each one is potentially, right, he can't sleep with one because maybe he's betrothed to the other. So that's a kiddushim shalonim serula bi'ah. So is that kiddushin or not, where he can't actually consummate the marriage? So again, Abaye says these kiddushin actually work. Now again, it doesn't mean you're married. It means that you need a get to get out of it. According to Rava, this isn't anything, and you don't even need a get. Okay, so Abaye would say we're machmir, and we have to give a get to both women. The next one is giloy da beget. If you remember this was that funny story about the woman who was weaving, and the shaliach comes to give the get, and she says, "Oh, I'm busy. Come back tomorrow." And then the guy comes back. The guy goes back to his the husband, and the husband said, "Baruch atov ametiv." And the question is, right? Did he mean to be mevatel the get? He didn't say, "I want to be mevatel the get." He didn't say those words, but he made it clear that he was happy to cancel the get. Do we say giloy da beget counts as canceling the get, and there's no get, or do we say no? He actually has to say, "I'm canceling the get." Okay, so there, Abaye is the one who says the get is a good get, and because giloy da beget doesn't count. Okay. So the get, therefore, is a good get, and when the shalef goes the next day and gives her the get, it's a valid get. Okay, the last one we didn't see yet either, which is mumar ochel nevelo lahachis. Okay, this is if somebody, the question is, when it comes to false witnesses, this is in Sanhedrin, when it comes to false witnesses, We generally say someone's a false witness if they're suspect of doing things for financial reasons, right? They did an avera for financial reasons. Then what are we going to say? That then they're suspicious that someone's going to hire them for money and they'll take the money, right? Like a gambler, he's looking for a quick money fix, right? So he might lie falsely and therefore isn't going to be a valid witness. So what if you're a guy who eats nevela, non-kosher food, lahachis, bedafka? Okay, so what's the other option? That you're eating it, first of all, because it's cheaper, right? It's cheaper to buy non-kosher food, right? How many times you go to a store, you see, like, they're selling ribs for, you know, almost no money, right? But kosher meat obviously takes a lot more. You have to shechita and this, and, you know, they know they can get you, so they charge higher prices. But if that's not your reason for doing it, you know, then maybe the question is, are you then going to be suspected that you'll lie falsely if you eat nevela lahachis? Okay? So Abaye says you're pasul. Rava says you're not pasul because you're not suspected of monetary, you know, impropriety. You're suspected of other things, but not monetary issues. Okay, those are the six things. So we're already, what did we say? We did four? Four out of six, not bad. okay. Amar le Rav Acha b'rei de Rava le Rav Ashi. V'chime achar di itotiv Rava. Now that we show that Rava is, you know, his opinion is canceled out, right? We don't agree with Rava. So now he's going to say, so how do people do certain things that they do? Hane tmari dezika, when tmarim fall off of someone's tree, hechi achlinan lehu. How do people say, oh, obviously, right, the person was, right, once they realize, they might not have realized their tmarim, right? How often do you notice exact what fruits fell off your tree? It goes on all the time. The fruits fall off of trees. So how do people walk by people's property and take tmarim that have fallen off their tree? So Amar le, kevan d'ika shkatzim v'ramatzim t'ka'ach lehu, me'ikar ye'ushim yayish minayu. Since once they fall on the ground, the guys know, right, the owner of the property knows that shkatzim v'ramatzim, all sorts of creepy crawlers are going to be getting into those fruits, then obviously they were mi'ayish from them from the beginning. In other words, they said, anything that falls, I have no, you know, I'm not planning to ever pick up. Yat, which obviously raises a bit of an issue, who is picking it right. up? But I think the assumption is that the owner's not there every second, and these people are like, you know, watching out for anything that falls. Oh, when it falls, you know, we could go take it. They get it quickly before that happens. Yatme, so now they say, wait a minute, but yatme to lab b'nei mechila mai, but how do you know that this property wasn't owned by a yatom? In other words, what's the assumption here? The guy was mochel, basically. He was, but if the property could be owned by yatomim, in which case, they're ktanim, they're not b'nei mechila, they can't be mochel. So how do you know that the tree you're eating from, you know, the stuff that fell, isn't from a tree of a yatom? Amarle, baga ba'ara diyatme lo mechazkinan. We don't assume that property is owned by yatomim. We just don't assume, right? So then they say, well, what if it's muchzak va'ome? What if we know it was owned by a yatom? Or mai, krachta mai, what if, I thought this is krachta, right, what if they fall in an area that's surrounded by rocks where the shkatzim and rumasim can't get into? Okay, what's the halacha? So they say asiran. Okay, those will be asur. Okay, quickly we'll do the beginning of this. This is pretty simple. Krichot bereshit harabim harei elu shelo. Okay, this is bundles. Bundles, bereshit harabim, you're allowed to take. So, Amar Rabba, va'afilu b'davar sheyesh bo siman. Now we're going to see two ways of looking at this. Rabba says that this is talking about even if your bundles had a siman on them, some sort of siman. We saw this before. If they were tied up, right, like your rolled papers, so we get to this. So, let's say it has a siman. So, even if it has a siman, Rabba says you could still take them. So, why could that be, right? It has a siman. So, kasava Rabba, it must be the Rabba holds. Siman ha'asui lidares lo have siman. Now we're going to learn that if there's a, you know that your thing had a siman. However, if it's on the ground and people walk there, and if people step on it, eventually, right, what's going to happen to this bundle? It's going to open up and get spread out, and it's not going to have the siman on it anymore. So if it's siman ha'asui lidares, that could be trampled and get ruined, that's not considered a siman. But Rava disagrees with Rava and says, lo shanu ela b'davar she'en bo siman. No, the Mishnah, when it said krichot bereshit harabim harei elu shelo, it only meant when it doesn't have a siman. Aval b'davar sheyesh bo siman chayav lachriz. But if it had a siman, you'd have to announce it. Alma kasava Rava siman hasur lidares havi siman. So there's a machloket Rava and Rava about if your siman could potentially be trampled. is it a siman or is it not a siman? Now, here we had it in terms of the way they understood this case in the Mishnah. But ika demane lahashmata ban pe nafshe. There's some people who just say, right, what do we say? Each one had an opinion about this krichot, whether it had a siman or didn't have a siman, whether this Mishnah would apply right across the board or just if it didn't have a siman. But some people, and therefore we assumed that their machloket is based on siman asur l'dereis have a siman or not. Some people say that, no, they have a machloket. We know they had a machloket about siman asur l'dereis. Rav amar lo havi siman, Rav amar havi siman. You understand? In other words, it's just a matter, it's the same thing. It's just a matter of, was there machloket about siman asur l'dereis? Or did we derive that that must be their machloket from what they said about our Mishnah? Okay, either which way, we come to the same conclusion. But now it says, okay, if it's their b'rishud ha'achid, then you have to return them. So hechidami, what's the case? If there's no siman, right, now we're going to say this doesn't work according to either one. Because if there's no siman, right, then b'rishud ha'achid, my machriz, then what are you announcing? When you find them in b'rishud ha'achid, right, then now we see, this was all looking at our Mishnah, but the next Mishnah says, if it's in Bereshit Yechid, you have to return it. So now they say this doesn't make sense. Either, right, if it doesn't have a siman, so how are you machriz? El alav di'ipuhu siman. It must be that it has a siman. So it has to be that. Bekatane Bereshit Arabim are elu shelo. So alma siman asur lidares lo have a siman to you of tederava. In other words, this shows that it must have a siman, because otherwise, what's he know to elu machriz? If it has a siman, then that supports Rabba's opinion, and it goes against Rava's opinion that siman asur l'dereis is a siman, because then you should be able to return a Rishat Arabim also. So we'll answer this question. We'll stop here. Amar lecha Rava la'olam delepahu siman. Now I'll explain it to you even that there's no siman. Utika amarta b'rishat ha'achim my machriz, machriz makom. When he finds it in Rishat ha'achim, what does he say? I found it in, as he'd have to say, not the way it looks, because that's, right? He would have to say, because there is no siman about how they look, it's a siman about where it was found. But Rabba, who doesn't read it this way, would say, makom lo havi siman. And that is, they have two machlokot. One about, is a siman asur l'dereis havi siman or not? Right? So the one who holds that siman asur l'dereis is not a siman, holds that, but makom is a siman. Okay, and the other one holds, no. Siman asur l'dereis is a siman, but makom is not a siman. And that's how they would explain this case in the Mishnah of why Bereshit Arabim it would work and Bereshit Yechid it wouldn't work. So, right, the assumption is in Bereshit Arabim, according to Rabba with a hey, he would say in Bereshit Arabim it's asur l'dereis, in Bereshit Yechid it's not asur l'dereis, and that's why you have to return it, because it has a siman there. But in Bereshit Arabim it's going to be trampled because lots of people go by. Okay, whereas Rabba says, no, it has to do with the makom. Okay, so it's in Bereshit Yechid you can say where you found it. Okay? Well, we're going to ask a little bit more about this tomorrow. More questions on that.